time now for Connecting the Diocese. Connecting the Diocese is a production of the Diocese of La Crosse. Here's host Jack Socha.
Well, thank you for tuning in, Connecting the Diocese. This just in from what I call the Look What I Just Got department. An unnamed bidder, an auction bidder, paid in excess of $218,000 for a pair of used suede Birkenstocks once worn by the late Steve Jobs, the Apple founder. Now, at first when I read that, I thought this must have been a charity auction. No one would pay $218,000 for a pair of used Birkenstocks owned by Steve Jobs, but no, it was a regular straight auction. It is said the brown suede Birkenstocks are very worn out, and also, and I am not making this up, it is said that someone retrieved it from a waste basket in Steve Jobs' office, thinking that, well, maybe someone can get some use out of them. All I can say is when this unknown person gets home and puts them on display, I hope he does not have a puppy. We'll be right back after this. This being the pre-Thanksgiving show, and we will have Bishop Callahan on, Kathy Cooper with some cooking tips, giving all kinds of things coming up this hour. But at the same time, I was thinking, you know, I need to be giving a lot of thanks to a whole bunch of people without whom this show would not be possible. Number one, of course, Bishop Callahan, the Bishop of the Diocese of La Crosse. It was his approval, his inspiration, his enthusiasm about 10 years ago to put a radio show on the air that makes this thing possible. Number two, Relevant Radio, who has graciously, over these years, allowed us airtime to be on at no charge. And as I have said in the past, please keep that in mind when they have a pledge drive, because they're not charging us for it. This is coming out of their pocket, and therefore we are deeply indebted to them to have us on virtually every weekend, and most weekends twice. So again, Relevant Radio. The folks in the communications department of the Diocese of La Crosse, Jack Felsheim, who has been here for all these years, more recently Eric Archer, who has taken over as a communications director, and also Zach Tudel, who handles a lot of the technical stuff. He's the one that I send files to each week so they can be on the diocesan website and also put up on various podcasting platforms like iTunes. So that Zach is another one. My friend Paul Sadek, a counterpart in Minneapolis who works for Relevant Radio and produces his own shows, I send him files so they can be put on the air and up on satellite so more people can hear around the Diocese of La Crosse. I also can't forget Pam Willer, office manager in the Diocese of La Crosse, communications department area, who I send certain paperwork to as well almost every week and who gets it to the right place for me. There are also other people assisting each of the different departments, and I get hold of them to get hold of the people who I need to talk to. But also, who can forget Debbie Brennan, who is a special assistant to the bishop who I send information to, and she's my conduit to the bishop with ideas for future shows. Thanks to all of you for making this all possible. Thanksgiving 2022. While other nations also have various days when they give thanks for various things, American Thanksgiving is our day. Some families gather around the table for the first time in a year or even two after the COVID virus kept them apart for health and safety reasons. With many, thanks are given for quick recoveries, for avoiding infection, for timely vaccinations, for opportunities to work from home. Some even give thanks for those tiny little needles that are so small now you don't even feel them. Refugees from Afghanistan may be celebrating their second Thanksgiving with a new place to live, children in school, and a more settled and safe life. The food on their table may be different from yours, but the feeling in their hearts is the same. Still others give thanks for retirement, while newlyweds give thanks for their new life together and for some of Mom's recipes that are both easy to make and don't need expensive ingredients. Our priests, pastors, rabbis, deacons, and religious are thankful for volunteers who stepped in to help feed those who need a good Thanksgiving meal with a side order of hope and cheer and help. I'm sure when you pause at your table this Thanksgiving Day, you'll have a lot of things to be thankful for. I know I do. Well, joining us again, the Bishop of the Diocese of La Crosse, Bishop William P. Callahan. Bishop, this is as close to Thanksgiving as we're going to get this particular year. This is the first time in 2.5 years that this Thanksgiving, my wife and I are going to have Thanksgiving in person with other members of the family.
Fantastic. Happy to hear it, Jack.
What do you plan to do?
You know, I never know until I actually do it. You know, the grace of being together with family just gets better and better every year. And, you know, my sisters, of course, you know, they've got the family. My brother has the family. They've got all these kids. I've got nieces and nephews and nephews and nieces, and all of them enjoy being together so well. And I'm grateful for it. I'm really grateful. And having the time to spend and to learn about what they do and to watch the first wave of nieces and nephews grow up and see them become such good people. I mean, really good people. I'm just thrilled. They're happy. They are religious. They haven't lost their sense of the divine in their lives, which makes me very, very happy. So I've got, as you know, and as probably all the people who listen to our broadcast know, got two older sisters, one older brother, and all of them have, you know, just kids all over the place. And I am blessed because I love spending time with them. And, you know, the kids are just, they're getting more and more adorable every year. I just see these kids, you know, the family is growing. So I'm just so pleased to see them. So, yes, so whatever we're going to do is going to involve family. It's going to involve stories. They've all got stories. And it will involve great food. Oh, it just makes me so happy.
I was going through an older external hard drive that I had tucked away, and I found photographs from 2000, 22 years ago, from another family gathering. And, you know, here are all these little kids on the couch goofing around. And now one of them has long since graduated from law school, thinking of applying to the State Department to be working overseas because he speaks fluent German. They're all grown up now. It's just amazing that you think how quickly time has passed. And even if you have differences, put them aside and get together. Any final thoughts about Thanksgiving before we let you go?
Well, that's one of the great things, isn't it, about Thanksgiving? That we know that we're supposed to be thankful, that we actually have an awareness of that. And what other country would do something so novel as to set aside a whole day to put together a thing that involves being thankful and allows us to have the opportunity to do that? And I think it's just great. You know, I know that, you know, there are other places that try it, but I know our country, we are so grateful for so much. And I just wish that there were more and more people who could understand that we would be more grateful, more honestly thankful for what we have. We have so much. And so it's really important for us to be able to be grateful with our families, with our sisters, with our brothers, you know, with our nephews and nieces, our moms and dads. There are just so many people, you just want to hug them and kiss them and say, thank you, you know, and you should. You really should. They need every once in a while.
I am reminded of a comment you made some time ago about why you should blow out a birthday candle. It's because you can. You're alive. Celebrate. You know, just think of the people in our own Curia staff who are celebrating things. You know, we have a new communications person who this time last year was finishing up a military career. Who would have thunk? They're here making a big, you know, effect on things. We have people everywhere who their lives are enriched by the fact that they are A, working with the diocese in some fashion, and B, that whether it be a volunteer or paid, they're working for the diocese for other people. We're so lucky. We thank you to all these volunteers who are everywhere in every parish.
This is your friendly neighborhood communications director, and I would be remiss.
Oh, my goodness. It's a voice from the sky. Wait a minute.
doesn't he have a voice like we should do?
That's the Army command voice.
Eric Archer is our new communications director. You go right ahead.
You know, I'd just be remiss if I didn't mention Giving Tuesday, speaking of giving thanks and helping out. Catholic Charities is who we're going to try to support this Thanksgiving time with Giving Tuesday, which is November 29th. And as your listeners know, Catholic Charities, the amount of the good they do across our state, of course, across our nation is just incredible. I was at St. Pat's last night helping to, you know, write little giving tree mittens to help some folks that are underprivileged this Thanksgiving. And Catholic Charities is behind that. Our Afghan immigrants that came here, Ukraine, people needing food, unsheltered across the diocese and across Wisconsin, the amount of good that Catholic Charities does is just hard for me to state with any degree of eloquence or gravity. They're incredible. So I would ask folks, you know, over past Thanksgiving, once we get through that and we see the secular consumerism of Black Friday, you know, to just take a moment and be deliberate and come to our Facebook page or go to Catholic Charities page. We'll have it linked and teed up on our Facebook page, but let's give to Catholic Charities knowing the amount of good that they do. And really every dollar makes an impact with that organization. So just my personal plea for those listening to find us on Facebook. We'll have a link posted and let's all give a little bit of money to Catholic Charities, because I think we all see just how directly they affect those in need across our state. So I just wanted to share that. I think it would be a mistake for me not to, Jack.
How is your Thanksgiving going to be?
I'll be giving thanks for a great deal. You mentioned just a year ago where I was and a year ago where I am now, working in the vineyards of our Lord among so many very talented people. I listened to the conversation with Monsignor Hirsch and Bishop Callahan, and just that I get to be in the same room is incredible. It's really, I'm so thankful for just that itself. And then, of course, the blessings of a wonderful family and an incredible community.
You know, I noticed that, and correct me, Bishop, please, if I pronounce this incorrectly, corporal works of mercy. Do I have that correct?
100%, Jack. You not only pronounce it correctly, you do it correctly.
This has struck me. I was looking over 10 years of radio work here, and particularly with Eric joining us, who has a very strong sense of serving these corporal works of mercy, I love talking about this stuff, and I love helping out, and I love hoping to happen. And what you're talking about with Catholic Charities, I'm sure, especially not only during the holiday period coming up, but even afterwards, and especially after the first of the year, we will be concentrating on these works of mercy, which are so basic to our belief system that they're just absolutely essential. And whenever we can help, whenever we can make a little bit of difference and make somebody's life just somewhat better. God bless you for helping out. And this is one way of doing it. We'll be talking, Eric, more about this throughout the year. And also, Catholic Charities, what can I say? I'm always totally blown away when they come on and they tell me something they've accomplished, some person they've turned their life around, and they work with the Afghan refugees and now Ukraine. We'll talk some more about that as well. But
I'd love to hear that. That's going to be great. Yeah.
Now, Eric, I have to get another one last. You got a one-year-old, is this?
Gosh, no. My youngest is 9. I'll tell you, he's got CCD this week, dressing up as his favorite saint. And I told him the story of St. Francis and the Wolf of Gubbio, and he's hooked. So his favorite saint now is St. Francis.
Another one of our guests who had a one-year-old. I didn't want to surprise you with that. But
that's okay. But you and Jack, because you teed me up, I've got to tell you, there's also the spiritual works of mercy, and one of them is instructing the ignorant. And so I learn from Bishop Callahan every day as he instructs me.
You and me both, Eric. You and me both.
We're
it
blessed.
Is a wonderful opportunity, and it is a blessing to work with both of you, because this is more fun and more interesting than anything I've done. And I've been doing this stuff since 1980 in all different formats. And this is worthwhile, and it's just fun to talk to you. I love being around people who pay attention to God. And I encourage anyone listening, if you are not doing that, I'm not going to kick you about it. But if you're listening right now, you are listening for a reason. And you're welcome to drop us a note, connecting@diolc.org. Any questions you have, any comments you have, anything you'd like to hear about, just to say hi, we'll be more than happy to hear from you. diolc.org is the website. connecting@diolc.org is how to reach us. So guys, happy Thanksgiving in advance.
Thank you, Jack. And all right. To all of the people who listen to us, whether you listen once in a while or you just catch us if you're driving in the car or doing whatever, we're very grateful. You know, in one sense, this is communication. This is what we want to do. We want to communicate to you God's love and how you can carry it out in your life. And we've just got numbers and numbers of shows that we've done in terms of ways in which we've communicated over the years. And so folks, we'll keep on trying to do it for as long as we can. So let us know what you think. That's always a good thing. We'll be happy to respond to anything that you offer. So God be with you. You take good care of yourselves. Thank you for listening to these broadcasts. We do them for you.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Because a lot of people try to squeeze in an extra day or two off before or after Thanksgiving, we try to get a show done for the weekend after Thanksgiving ahead of time. And I've just finished doing some recording, which you'll be hearing next week, with Roberto Partiru from Catholic Charities. And I was just struck by the fact that we have a special promotion going on. You may have just heard a little bit about it, about a giving day when you can make a plan to give something to a charity that you need. And we're focusing on Catholic Charities this year. So if you're listening next week and it's just past so-called Black Friday and then all of the hubbub still going on during the weekend, maybe you could consider going over for a few minutes to Catholic Charities website at ccclse.org, ccclse.org. And when you hear Roberto next week, you'll begin to understand why I keep saying that Catholic Charities exemplifies basically all of the corporal works of mercy that the Catholic Church says are really important things to practice. There are all kinds of reasons why people are in need, and it is not their position, nor mine, nor should it be anyone's, to look at them and chastise them for their behavior and show them why they went wrong or how they went wrong, especially with Thanksgiving so near to us and coming up, that we should look at people coming for help and simply say, "There, but for the grace of God, go I." A sudden life disruption could happen to you. It could happen to me at any time. So along with being mindful and giving thanks for the good things that have happened to you this past year as we sit down for a Thanksgiving meal, can you also give thanks for Catholic Charities and the hard work they do and the volunteers who are there and all the good things they do for the hundreds and thousands of people who are in our greater La Crosse area and the Diocese of La Crosse who get a chance to stay warm or have a meal or just help them out of a bad situation? And if you can, make a donation at ccclse.org. Well, it would not be a good pre-Thanksgiving show if I did not have Kathy Cooper on helping us out with stuff about food. Kathy Cooper, for those of you who don't know, is number one, our resident foodie, but also an invaluable person preparing meals for events, for incoming people from foreign countries, for the bishop. Have I left anything out, Kathy?
No, I'm feeling very humbled right now, Jack. Thank you.
People don't realize that at our diocesan center, we have senior priests, retired priests who are living there, seminarians working, we've got the people in the Journey program. There are a lot of mouths to feed, aren't there?
You know, it's an exciting time. Everybody's happy and looking forward to the future, moving forward.
Yes, it's very nice. We're for the first time in two Thanksgivings, we will be going to relatives in Madison, Wisconsin. What's happened is that we're beginning to see some of the kids that were kids when my wife and I were first married are now approaching empty nesters. it's a little unnerving, you know, that their kids are off to college, they've been married, you know. It's kind of a shock, and I think it's a shock to them. And so, for example, there will not be quite as many at the Thanksgiving table. There are other in-laws to go visit that want you over for Thanksgiving. So what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
I'm smiling because as your Thanksgiving is getting smaller, mine is getting much larger by the day. We have neighbors that are adopted family to us. And I have 4 out of my 5 children will be joining us. Mine right now isn't the cooking. That's easy for me. It's trying to fit everyone, 20, at one large table. Thanksgiving is such an important time for home. We want to make sure everyone's comfortable at the Diocesan Center and then enjoy our holiday at home, too, knowing everyone else is happy.
When you were shopping and prepping, how badly have prices gone up?
It is difficult. You can find the deals out there, Jack, but be cautious because it is a business at the end of the day. And one of kind of the things we fall into are all these great deals. Like if you buy a ham, you get a free turkey. Well, sometimes those hams are $6 a pound that you maybe weren't going to purchase anyway. And you're spending $50 on that ham to get a $20 turkey. The best deals I've found right now are 99 cents a pound, but about $1.07, you're able to pick up a really nice butterball bird. But groceries right now are difficult at best. That, again, affects all of us. To me, turkey is like the best bang for your buck. But then again, use every bit of it. That carcass is the best part to boil down, make soup, do whatever, roast some vegetables with it. And maybe not quite as large of a bird. Augment it with stuffing, I would say, but that has gone up too. Anything to do with flour and wheat is cereals, things like that. And again, they say apples have come down a little bit.
And we're in the situation where we live basically 35 miles one way from La Crosse, and we are very lucky that we have in our little town a really nicely done grocery store. I mean, they've even got a brewery built into it now and a coffee shop, and it's pretty kind of amazing. But sometimes you go in there and, you know, you see that the avocados there are a lot more money than they are, say, for example, at a big store in La Crosse. But then you got to weigh the fact that, do you really want to drive 70 miles round trip?
Absolutely.
You know, and also there's the fact that you want to participate with the local people because they've really put their heart and souls into having a grocery store, which is really important for small towns.
And you're fortunate where you are only cooking for two versus a family of seven, for instance, like I had to prepare for. So splurge on an avocado if you...
Yeah, we do that. We do. And we, you know, for a variety of reasons and nothing particularly serious, we have really moved into a more plant-based orientation. Maybe it's just because we're crazy. I don't really know. But also from the lockdown, we just got bored eating the same stuff all the time. And so we have really branched out into, I wouldn't say exotic food, but just we've found things that we like. Discovered that you can take this little tiny seed called quinoa and you can cook it in a vegetable broth. And it comes out really good and stuff like that. And we eat a ridiculous amount of buckwheat groats.
And the beauty with all those things we're talking about, Jack, you can do savory or sweet. They're great as a breakfast food in the morning with a little maple syrup and a little bit of warm milk.
Yeah, and we just have pressure cooked buckwheat in the morning, and we add bananas to it, and we add walnuts to it because we can afford the walnuts because we're not buying box cereal, you know, and things like that. But we're just used to it, and we eat it, and we like it, and someday every once in a while we get sick of it, so we make quinoa instead or something else, and we have certain allergies involved, so we can't get a lot of wheat-based stuff and things like that. Mm-hmm. We've discovered that we found really pretty decent ways of buying stuff. One thing is with the buckwheat groats is we're not buying a little box of 12 ounces. You know, we found some supplier in California and we're buying like, you know, 20 pounds at a time. And it comes in this big box. and you'd be surprised how quickly you go through it if you go through it a lot of it and make things like dressing out of it and all kinds of stuff out of it.
But just one thing is make sure if you are going to buy 20 pounds, it is something you're going to use.
But we, you know, most times, most of our stuff is pretty basic and simple, and we, out of necessity, not particularly financial necessity, although I'm sure that's part of it, but out of the need to avoid certain prepared stuff, we really do cook from scratch. And so consequently, we tend to, you know, I've cut up tomatoes and cut up mushrooms and cut up this, that, and the other, and it all seems to work out. We don't go out and buy the pre-made, ready-to-eat stuff ever, frankly, anymore. Not for philosophical reasons. We just, for some stuff that's in it, we can't eat, and so we just don't. That does save you a bit of money, although I must admit...
It saves a lot, yes.
Yeah. Every once in a while, I go over to Quick Trip, and I do like those corn dogs.
Oh, really?
They're comfort food. You know, they're comfort food. Yeah, well, a corn dog isn't going to kill you. Well, maybe it might, but not one of them.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Out of all the foods you said, a corn dog surprised me.
They're good. You know, you are going to be making a turkey as your main dish. What kind of dressing do you put inside? Or no, I take it back. You don't put your dressing inside, do you?
Oh, no. Actually, you should never put your dressing inside a bird. So when you make dressing, of course, you do it in a casserole on the side. We're real simple. We do the old country sausage with fresh croutons toasted in tons of olive oil and butter, and then all kinds of warm, you know, different herbs, and in good old country sausage and celery and onions. And then I do use a little stock and white wine. But pretty simple. The cornbread stuffing or wild rice dressing, rather. My family just likes the good old stuff with lots of garlic and, you know, as you toast those croutons and that. But we're pretty simple that way. It's fun, though, with all of our children and their families coming into it. They all have traditions, like yams and sweet potatoes. We're not a tradition at our house. We liked whipped rutabagas and our lefse and things like that. But it's fun now because they're making the yams and different kinds of pies. So it's just, it is. And the beauty is now that even though we're doing the main core of it all, the fun when everybody's bringing something to share, just like it should be.
From their traditions, The other thing I learned, and frankly, I went to a farmer's market and bought a bunch of beets with the greens on them.
Mm-hmm.
We never got around to cooking the beets, but by golly, the greens were great.
were fabulous,
Oh, man, they were like...
We never got around to the beets. Oh, my.
I never got around to them. I mean, they sat in the refrigerator because I really prepping them and stuff. Taking the skins off and everything. I didn't get around to it. But by golly, the beets... The beet greens were incredible.
Did you just saute them a little garlic and olive oil?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, just that kind of thing. And, you know, it was just like, these are really good.
The concept of not wasting anything. You're spending good money, and these are good products, and they're good for you, and to use every bit of them.
And also, one thing that you have talked about, and maybe you can expound on this a little bit, is the smart people getting ready for Thanksgiving cook a lot of stuff ahead of time.
Yes.
And then, tell me about that.
Well, because number one, you sure don't want to miss your holiday by being exhausted in doing mounds and mounds and mounds of dishes. The other thing that's in our favor, usually around here, and again, you have to be really cautious, we do have an extra freezer and an extra refrigerator at my house, but we still don't have enough refrigerated space. So when the temperatures are favorable, meaning around 30 degrees, below 40, and not in the sun, I will actually store certain things outside just to, you know, overnight or help with whatever. But I love do ahead, and I love crock pots, and I love roasters. For instance, this year we're going to be making two turkeys. But I'm going to be using my Nesco's for that. My one daughter makes the best Brussels sprouts I've ever had in my life. She does them in a crock pot. One of my other daughters is doing all the mashed potatoes. And we're talking pounds and pounds and pounds. And it's the old mashed potato recipe with sour cream and cream cheese and onion powder and garlic powder and butter. And those are another thing you can do days in advance. Throw them in your crock pot and plug them in that morning. Delicious. The other one I really like to do in advance is make my gravy. I hate separating grease and trying to, you know, use the old syringe thing to try to get the turkey broth out and someone else trying to hold a turkey in a pan as you're trying to pour off the juices. So what I do is I either get some turkey parts, some wings and necks and, you know, those kind of things, and roast them in advance with some leeks and some, you know, just different carrots, root vegetables, cook them down till they're almost unrecognizable. And then I simmer them with a little bit of white wine and some more fresh herbs. And usually you always have to add salt because that's one thing gravy needs is salt. And I'll simmer all that stock pot down. And that's when I'll make my gravy out of that rather than trying to do it the day of. Gravy is also one of those weird things you can freeze. And the other thing with gravy, if you do make it ahead, it does look like brown gelatin. but it reheats beautifully, even in a microwave. Again, you can put it in a crock pot and then just put it in your gravy boat to serve, you know, the day of Thanksgiving. Of course, we've talked about my favorite cranberry relish years and years and years.
Oh, my goodness. No, that's worth repeating. I was just about to say, we are living in the midst of cranberry country. We are in a paradise of cranberry. And you had something that you told me a few years ago that I did, and I went, oh, my gosh, this is the best taste I have ever had. Would you explain what that is?
Oh, you're cute. It's so good, and it's so good for you, with the exception of all the sugar, of course, you have to add. And again, cranberries, we throw them in our apple pie. We throw them in our apple sauce. They're just, it adds such a festive extra little pop to what you're making. But my favorite cranberry relish, and now mind you, my favorite way to eat this is on a wheel of brie, is we take a bag of cranberries, a 12-ounce bag, and of course, wash them, go through them, make sure, you know, they're all good and they're not, you don't have any bad ones in there. You throw them raw in your food processor with one orange, skin and all, because that's what makes it really good. And about a cup of sugar, you need a lot of sugar in it. And then the fun part is we add a little Jack Daniels to ours, but you don't have to add the extra little alcohol if you don't want to, if the kids are going to be eating it. But for, like I said, to put in little mason jars for a gift or anything like that, we always spike our berries a little bit. And the last thing I do to mine is I like to toast some pecans. And I add those at the end. So all you do is you throw all those yummy things in your food processor and you pulse it up to however thick or chunky you'd like it. And you eat it raw and cold, and it's refreshing. It's delicious. And don't save it just for Thanksgiving. Use it all year long. And frozen cranberries work fabulous because we usually get extra cranberries. We throw them in the freezer and they just work splendid.
Yes, that's, we're going to have to do that. I'm surprised the number of people, you know, here I probably have lived in a cave most of my life. And, you know, I just discovered this. And then people go, yeah.
What have you been eating?
Yeah, they've been talking. Well, that's the thing is that, you know, again, the funny thing is New Jersey, where I'm from originally, we actually had cranberry fields there, too, in the southern part of the state. And yet we were buying the canned Ocean Spray, you know, jelly cranberry. And that
with
was
the ridges.
Yeah, and that was it, you know. And it was kind of like, why didn't someone have packages of loose cranberries in New Jersey back when I was a kid? They didn't do it, I don't think. And you come out here and they're in the grocery stores all over the place. It's just, well, yes, maybe we should be trying that. And it worked just fine. I'll have to get an orange and get out my little musher-upper and do it to it. That's really good.
I'm smiling because I think of my dear mother, very Norwegian, and she would go through all the work of making, you know, our left son, everything imaginable. But then she would literally dump a can of the Ridge cranberry. We had a special little silver platter for the chilled cranberry. But sometimes, being a region, we'd do lingonberries too. But usually we'd have this whole feast with a can of jellied cranberry, which actually is such a great thing to add to a sandwich, a really thin slice of that. There you go. Monte Cristo.
And stuff that you grew up with in many cases. You know, I think one thing you said some years ago that was that the Thanksgiving dinner is not the time to experiment with something that you've never served before.
Right.
You know, today we're going to have trout. Yeah. For Thanksgiving.
And, you know, and if trout's your Thanksgiving tradition, that's great. Yeah, but first year that you want to introduce trout for Thanksgiving, why don't you do it on the Friday after? And then if it's a real hit, then next year maybe.
It is amazing what the taste of certain foods that you only get like at Thanksgiving time, the immediate rush of memory they bring back. I was over at the food store and I noticed they had, you know, we normally get like Fuji apples or whatever, and they had a bag of Jonathan apples and they were actually less expensive. And I just got them. I got them home and they're a little tart. They're not as tart as Granny Smith's and they're red. They're not as boring as Red Delicious. I bit into it and it was like, this is so familiar tasting. And it turns out, I looked them up, that they were predominantly grown on the East Coast. Now they're now grown in Michigan as well. But these are the apples that we had as kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so you bit into this thing, and I hadn't tasted that particular tart, apple-y taste for a long time. And it was kind of like, wow. I think also when they used to make candy apples back on the Jersey Shore, this is the apple that was in the center, because you'd eat the little candy thing on the outside, and you'd break through it, and then there would be this tartness on the inside. So that's a good thing. That's a wonder. Yeah. So if you see Jonathan apples, you may not be familiar with them, but I don't think they transport as well as other ones do. I think they're a little more delicate. But yeah.
Right. And there's so many hybrids out there anymore. Every apple is distinct, you know. Some are quite similar, but it's fun to try some of the different apples. And again, always read about them, because some are like Cortland. That's my apple pie apple. And it's because my 90-year-old neighbors, that's what DA always used. She always uses Cortland, so that's what I use. So it's what you know, because I like them. They bake down real well.
Yeah. Thanksgiving is for memories and eating memories, eating special foods. And even if something that is not as good for you as it could be, you know, come on now. I love mince pie, for example. Now, we don't really make a mince pie per se, but I still go hunt down the little square box of mincemeat, and I will cook it up and just put it in a dish and just have some of that, because I really didn't care about the crust that much, but it was the mince in the middle that was just so old-fashioned, so kind of British tasting or something like that. It reminded me of all kinds of, British novels and things from the 1800s.
Well, exactly.
I don't even know where mincemeat came from. I mean, I probably should read about the history of mincemeat. Maybe I'll never touch it again. But it's such an old thing that, right. Blueberry pie is great, strawberry pie is great, pumpkin pie is wonderful. But mincemeat is like this weird thing that you really don't get much unless you're in this time of year. It's kind of strange. Well, it's got beef tallow in it and stuff like that. I mean, it's just, where did this come from? You know, it's worse than Polish sausage. You don't know the origin of it, but it's just good stuff.
Or, I mean, you think of, or haggis, or, my neighbor makes it, well, she hasn't over the last few years, but every 4th of July, we'd always have haggis. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I don't think anybody really loved it, but it was traditions. Have to have some.
Half my family is Scottish. I've never had it.
You're kidding.
No, we've never had it. Now, in our little area here, we got a lot of Norwegians. As we approach Christmas, they actually have frozen lutefisk TV dinners.
No.
Oh, yeah.
My husband, I would love to get one of those just to surprise
The guy buys little three-section black trays from someplace, and they cook the lutefisk, and they put it in along with some rutabagas or something else, and then they cover it with plastic wrap, and they freeze it.
Oh, my. And lutefisk is expensive. It's not a cheap meal.
I have not tried it yet. I'm afraid I'm not ready for that yet.
How about salt cod? That's, quite a Scandinavian thing also.
I bought some of that, and I rinsed it, and I rinsed it, and I rinsed it, and it came in a little wooden box, and I rinsed it some more. I could not get all the salt out of it. Maybe I just wasn't doing it right. I don't know.
Did you soak it overnight, though? I mean, you can't just rinse it. You have to soak it.
My mistake. Someday we'll try it again. We'll try it one of the other
times. You really need to, like 48 hours, mm-hmm. you reconstitute it, basically, and then get rid of that water. And then you put a whole new batch of water and get rid of that water, and you put a whole new batch of water on it and you get rid of that water. So
it's a tradition. Well, we just about run out of time. Any final comments about this coming Thanksgiving? Any final tips or just suggestions or greetings or whatever you want to say?
I'm smiling because with any kind of entertaining, there's no apologies ever. When you're hosting, you don't apologize if your bread doesn't rise and your pie crusts are burnt and your turkey is dry. No apologies ever needed, because you are gracious enough to host and have people in your home and share that love with them. So my number one thing is no apologies. And number two, don't point out if something didn't turn out quite right, because things don't always go as planned doesn't mean there's anything wrong with them or if anybody else will ever even notice. With the exception of 1 year, my daughter made a pumpkin pie and forgot to put sugar in it. That was a little bit of a problem.
Ouch. Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah, too well. Kathy Cooper, we will probably want to talk to you again sometime during the holidays about holiday treats or something interesting we can get as we move into that part of the year. But I wanted to share some of the Thanksgiving time with you because it's always so much fun to get a little watches and warnings about things and also little tricks that we all know. And the idea that, you know, sometimes the stuff that you remember is the tastiest of all the things you can have. So it's a good deal. You and yours have a very, very happy Thanksgiving, okay?
Oh, and you too, Jack. I can't wait till we get to visit again.
We'll do it soon. You take care now.
Okay, you too. Thank you so much.
Jack Socher here with you on this pre-Thanksgiving show on Connecting the Diocese. Back in 1983, I was still a young radio disc jockey working my second job. I was in Marshfield, Wisconsin at a spunky little AM station there. The previous Thanksgiving in 1982 was in the midst of a very, very deep depression. Things were not doing well, and things were beginning to get better by Thanksgiving of 1983, but not for everyone. There was a continuing drought in many farm areas. Automation and offshoring of products were taking an increasingly big toll on the American workforce. One day, a little bit before Thanksgiving, I got a recording in the mail from an ecumenical group that involved Catholics, Protestants, Quakers, Jews, a very large group. It was an album called The Great American Feast, and it was hosted by then Steve Allen, who was a well-known personality. This recording was designed for broadcast, and it explained part of what Thanksgiving was all about, and then also a lot of awareness of people who were still in need, and the reason why, despite our troubles or our great successes, it is a time to be thankful for the good things that we have. In 1983, our ideas for language and also our ideas for exact history were perhaps a little bit off the beam. The story of the first pilgrims was kind of the standard thing that you hear, and not every historical reference was necessarily accurate. I won't be playing those this particular hour, but I will be playing parts of it where it talks about people in need, people who have given thanks. Again, the verbiage in those years has changed a little bit. There's a part about a mom talking about her daughter who is developmentally challenged. That is not the word that they used back then. Back then, they used the word, with kindness, retarded. And it's impossible to remove that from the story that was being told because they lose the other part about how the young lady was now 18 and how much love and how much joy that she has brought to their life. And as our bishop has said many times, how no one is disposable. In many ways, some of the things you'll be hearing in this second half of the broadcast from 1983 still resonates today in a lot of ways. So sit back and enjoy. We're going to listen to a little bit of history as far as what was going on in 1983, just before Thanksgiving, the Great American Feast.
You know, there are no words that really can describe the emptiness of farm family fields as it watches a parched corn crop slowly give up all hope of a profit, or a hailstorm destroy a ripe wheat field.
I guess I really feel angry. I think how hard my husband has worked and how we've worked together as a team and how our life is depending on this and things aren't working out. And I get mad at myself. Why didn't I do things differently? And I get afraid for my husband, how he's going to take it, what's going to happen.
Moments of loss are obviously difficult. It's hard to feel until you've been there, the despair that comes with a layoff notice, the frustration of an entire mill shut down.
Looks awfully bleak, the unemployment situation. So the people in this area are suffering. They're going to continue to suffer, as far as I see. Now the bottom have fell out. See? If you follow the news, they say there won't be no work in the state of Ohio for a long time. And this is a mill town, and all the mills are gone. So we're going through a revolutionary change. Steel is gone, plastic is in, computers are in. So we really don't have anything to look forward to.
But even though life is a struggle, I find great satisfaction as I watch people celebrate what they do have. Somehow, when life gets pared right to the core, people can usually still be thankful.
We didn't know for 3 months that we had a retarded child. When Lou got up enough nerve to tell me that this was Dina's condition, I cried for one whole day, and that was it. She's 18 now, and there have been no more tears since then. We got them all out the first day. She's considered severely retarded, and this to us is not realistic either. Dina is very, very open and friendly, and sometimes it makes you think that she has something we don't have. A couple weeks ago, we were walking down the street, and there she was, hi, to everybody, hi, hi. And her mother, being of the standard school, sort of walked ahead of her a couple steps so that people wouldn't think that was coming out of me. And I could see out of the corner of my eye that a woman reacted, and she bent over and kissed her. And I said, hey, Dina, how about that? You got a kiss out of that. And the woman said, not only one kiss, but three, one for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost. Dina beamed all over. That set her up because this terminology she's familiar with, it's part of the baptism, and often she goes around repeating in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost.
Another interesting fact about the first pilgrims was the question as to why they came to these shores at all. They were refugees, as you know, fleeing religious persecution in the old world. And today, we still have many refugees crowding our shores. People from El Salvador, Haitians, Vietnamese, many others.
Cambodia fell first. It was April 17, 1975. And I had an opportunity to escape from the country on that day. We evacuated by the helicopter. My immediate family, I have, of course, my wife and five children. But during the evacuation, I have left two of them, the oldest, back behind us. The reason why, because since we have evacuated in a small helicopter, and we did not have enough room to bring everyone with us, and including in that helicopter, there were 9 officers aboard. And then I had a chance to tell my wife that as a responsible person for these officers, I cannot leave them in the country. If they are left in the country, they must be killed by the communists. And by that fact, we realize that it's better for us to take a chance to leave our own children, and we bring all of the officers with us.
My father's mansion has many rooms, with room for all of his children. As long as we do share his love and see that all are free, and see that all are free to know, and see that all are free to grow, and free to open or to close the door of their own room.
I am so grateful because we are alive. There was a real mass killing. And I am so grateful that we can still alive. And the most important thing which I need to express on behalf of the other refugees in the United States, we would like to express our thanks and gratitude to the United States government who allowed us to be admitted in this real freedom country. And secondly, we would like to express our thanks and gratitude again to American friends who give us all kind of hospitalities and welcome and all kind of help.
What is a room without a door, which sometimes locks or stands ajar? What is a room without a wall to keep out sight and sound from all? The choice is ours to share this earth with all its many joys abound, or to continue as we have and burn God's mansion down. My father's mansion's many rooms have room for all of his children, as long as we do share his love and see that all are free.
How we should treasure and be thankful for our great gift of freedom. You know, there's a beautiful story that comes from ancient Hasidic writings. We're very fortunate that beloved actress Helen Hayes is here to share it with us.
My dear friends, I hope you're having a splendid Thanksgiving. You know, sometimes the stories that have been around a long time have the greatest treasures in them. This one has special meaning for Thanksgiving. Two brothers shared a farm. One brother was married and had seven children. The other brother was single. Each year, the harvest was abundant, and they split the wealth of the land evenly. One night, the single brother thought, "It's not right that we should divide the grain evenly. My brother has many mouths to feed, and he needs more. I have only myself to look after. I can get by with less." So each night, he would take grain from his barn and secretly transfer it to the barn of his married brother. That same night, the married brother thought, "It is not fair that we should divide the grain evenly. I have many children who will look after me in my old age. My brother has only himself. He will need to save more for the future." So each night, the married brother would take the grain from his barn and secretly transfer it to the barn of his single brother. Each night, the brothers gave away their grain. Yet each morning they found their supply mysteriously replenished. They never told each other about this miracle. Then one night, they met each other halfway between the barns. They realized at once what had been happening. They embraced with laughter and tears, and on that spot, they built a temple. Now, isn't that a great story about giving our grain away freely and sharing our plenty? This is Helen Hayes. A wonderful Thanksgiving holiday to you. As we truly count our blessings, may we always share them.
Well, sir, we're almost ready for our Thanksgiving meal. Just sitting here now, I get to thinking how much of this is not my doing at all. The clothing I wear is not of my own making. I wouldn't know how. The materials for my clothing came from the plants and animals of our land or other lands around the world. Fabrics were woven by machines I wouldn't know how to run, certainly could not invent. Somebody else designed the shirt, trousers, and the other things. Somebody else did the selling, the fitting. And I sit here and look at our Thanksgiving meal. My wife, Jane, obviously prepared most of it. My friends and family will gather here at the table to give meaning to my life. And their love is something I sometimes take for granted. But it's remarkable how dependent we are on so many other people. Not just our loved ones, those close to us, but people we never see or know. We are indeed related to others in our land and in our tiny world. To all the unseen people and places who have made this feast so rich and so bountiful. And for them, we give thanks, and thanks to life itself. And I want to leave you with my own words of gratitude this Thanksgiving time. I call this a prayer of thanks for the big and small, for the opportunity to live in freedom. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom to dissent, to disagree, to vote. We thank you. For medicine that works, for laughing children that play, we give thanks. For good books in which we lose ourselves, for good friends in whom we find ourselves, for woods and churches where we can be silent, and for loud parties and parades where we can whoop and holler and dance and sing, for rocking chairs and socks in pairs, for garbage bags that do not break, for a window box of daisies. Thank you. For the artist's touch in words, pictures, and sounds that give us faith that we're not in vain. For the people who make us laugh and cry in circuses and shows and good movies. For the person to invent toys that last. For French fries and comic strips. For leaders who challenge and care. For good storytellers. For good music makers who make us hum their songs. We say thank you. For bus drivers who smile. For receptionists who don't put us on hold. For television commercials that make us giggle or feel we've learned something. For things that work, thank you. For the times of healed pain, for the times we've been healed by pain. For the comfort of good neighbors and the kindness of strangers. For the smell and taste of morning coffee. For the long talks with good friends, for children bathed and bedded. For good red wine and feisty long conversations, we thank you. For the burning leaves of long autumn evenings and for the brilliant winter sun on snowy roofs. For favorite magazines and for an open fire and long Sunday afternoons, thank you, Lord. For those who really listen, we especially thank you. And thank you for those who visit the lonely and clothe the naked and feed the hungry. Not just because it's a mandate from on high, but because that's the way they want to live, helping others. Those who have given us the freedom to make our own mistakes and learn to love life at first hand. For the smell of barbecued ribs, the quiet time before the dawn, and for block parties where new arrivals find they've come home. For ministers and priests and rabbis who live what they believe. For doctors and nurses who not only cure, but care. For parents who speak love and show it.
Thank you for my mommy and daddy, my little puppy who's almost six.
Thanks for a cheeseburger with everything on it, and a good crossword puzzle, and for sleeping late and the luxury to choose to now and then. Thanks for a shady tree in summer's heat, for iced drinks, for the electricity of laughter and the power of good thinking. Thank you for the courage to say the word sorry and the strength and forgiveness that reflects your mercy. Thank you for fancy foods and simple foods and frozen foods in the sense to know when we've had enough of them. Thank you for the quiet marvels of all of life, for the gatherings of weddings that make us cry with joy, and the gatherings of funerals that make us cry in shared sorrow and not despair. Thank you for short agendas and small committees. Thank you for rocket ships and fireworks. Thank you for short lines at the stores and for finding a $10 bill in a long unused jacket. Thank you for the amazing jigsaw of life. May we always love the questions and not be so sure about the answers. Thanks for bologna or bologna or both. For window shopping, for sparkling old wine, for the majesty of cats. Thank you for the special people we meet so seldom, and yet when we do, we feel that we've never been apart from them. Thanks for a children's playground without fights and tears, for dolls that don't have to blink or make a noise, but just silently give comfort. Thank you for radios that inform and do not blare, for chocolates and jokes and for funny hats. Thank you for giving us patience with others, but especially with ourselves. Thank you for undelayed airplane flights and safe arrivals for travelers and for all the unseen people that make a city work. Thank you for our places of worship, of work, and of love. Thank you for poets and practical mechanics and for a favorite old pair of slippers. Thank you, Lord, for all the gifts we have in abundance, large and small. May we receive them well and take our time to say the thank yous. And we do thank you. And so, friends, whether you're a part of a big gathering or not this particular Thanksgiving holiday, why not stop a while and count those blessings? There are many others that you could add to the list. And take your time to say the thank yous. This is Steve Allen, and this has been the Great American Feast, and a very happy Thanksgiving to you.